this thing to me, man. When the Lord began to lay this on my heart, I'm like, Lord, how in the world, somebody's dumb as I am, won't preach this message? And he said, that's all right. You just get up there and let me preach. And that's what we're going to try to do. But Balaam and Biden's Bible, Numbers chapter 31, verse 16, the only verse we'll read for start. If you like to stand, we'll read that, then we'll jump right to the message this morning. I thank God again. I'll say again, thank God for all the singing. I can pray. If you can't do nothing else right now, you pray. Amen. And some of us better start praying a little bit more. Amen. Numbers 31, verse 16, the Bible says, behold, these caused the children of Israel through the counsel of Balaam to commit trespass against the Lord in the matter of Peor. And there was a plague among the congregation of the Lord. You can be seated. And of course, this verse is dealing with Balaam. As it says there, through the counsel of Balaam. Now, Balaam is a call him a prophet. He's more like a soothsayer. I think the Bible even calls him, as one verse of Scripture, I believe, a soothsayer. But Balaam and Balak first appear in Numbers chapter 32. Balak is the king of the Moabites. Balak sent for Balaam. And yeah, Joshua 13, verse 22 says that Balaam was a soothsayer. He sends for Balaam to curse the children of Israel. He looks out and he sees them coming up through the wilderness and he thinks, man, this is trouble. I've got to stop this. So he calls for Balaam and to curse them. The Bible says that twice that Balak hired Balaam to curse Israel. And Balaam would respond to Balak and he couldn't do it. Balaam said, no, I can't. And he said, I cannot go beyond the word of the Lord, my God, to do less or more. First, it appears that Balaam is saying, no, I'm not going to do it. I can't do it. And he offers him, he refuses everything that Balak offers him. Now, you have to fully understand what exactly Balak offers Balaam. He offered him anything he wanted. But Balak in Numbers 22, verse 17 says, I will promote thee unto very great honor, and I will do whatsoever thou sayest unto me. So Balak's telling Balaam, whatever you want, I'll get it. Balaam says this. He says, if Balak would give me his house full of silver and gold, I cannot go beyond the word of the commandment of the Lord. Balaam, the Bible says, was offered the rewards of divination. So you see this man, this prophet, we'll call him a prophet, Balaam, he's offered anything that Balak has to curse Israel. He's offered money, gold, prestige, honor. Balak says to him, if you'll just curse them, I'll give you anything you want. This happens, I think, three times. Balak says, just curse them. He takes them up to the high places and they make offerings. And Balaam would say, I can't go beyond the word of the Lord. I can't do what God's not commanded to be done. And it looks as though Balaam doesn't do it. Now, how does this relate to Biden's Bible? That's the hard part of the message, is getting this to connect. Most of you, if you watch, you know, and you understand that on January the 20th of this year, Joseph Robinette Biden, ain't that a big name? Joe Biden takes the oath of office of the President of the United States. Did you all, who came in here, watch the inauguration? Who watched it? I watched it. I'm just a glutton for punishment. So I watched it. How many of y'all seen the Bible that he took the oath with? They swore on. You know how that Bible was 5 inches thick? That's a big Bible. And it's not a King James Bible. Don't get your hopes up. It's a Dewey Reams Bible. It's an English Bible. It's actually older. The translation is actually older than the King James by 30 years. But it's a Jesuit Bible. How many of y'all know what Jesuits are? All right, so we're going to going to learn a little bit this morning. It's more of a Sunday evening message that you will get off Sunday morning. So we have these Jesuit priests. They escape London. They go over to France, Dreams, France, and they begin to translate a New Testament. And that was the birth, if you will, of the Douay Rheims Bible. As I said, it took place about 30 years before King James was, the Bible was done. This is the version of the Bible that Joe Biden takes the oath of office on. The Bible that he uses is an old family Bible that they have. I said 5 inches thick, 127 years old, that Bible that he used. And there's a lot of connections between that Bible. Now, I'm not going to pick on Biden as much, but I'm going to pick on that Bible just a little bit this morning and how it relates to Balak and Balaam. And I'll tell you a few things. We're going to just jump right in this, and we're not going to give you a big long introduction. We're just going to jump straight to the message. I'll tell you, first of all, just like Balaam, Biden's Bible doesn't tell the whole story. That's why I said the Douay Rheims Bible. In Numbers chapter 22, when you first hear of Balaam and Balak, the Bible says that God said to Balaam, "Thou shalt not go." Number one, but God gives, God gives Balaam an outline. He says, your first point is thou shalt not go. He says, you're not going to go. He says, thou shalt not go with them. Thou shalt not curse the people. Point number two. He said, what are you going to preach tomorrow to the people that they that sin after you? I'm not supposed to go with you. It's point number one. I'm not supposed to curse them. It's point number two. And point number three is, for they are blessed. So God says to Balaam, he says, don't go with them. You don't curse them. I bless them. Well, what does Balaam say to the people of Balak as they come to get him that morning? In verse 13, all that Balaam says to these people, he says, the Lord refuses to give me leave to go with you. He doesn't tell them that he can't curse them. He doesn't tell them that they're blessed. He just tells them, point number one, I can't go with you. God won't give me leave to go with you. Now listen, that's my brother, that's not that big a deal. Listen, if God tells you three things, you better give all three of these things back out. Amen? God says, Balaam, don't go, don't curse them, they're blessed. Balaam just says, I can't go. He don't preach the whole message. Amen? Listen, a lot of times in our country, in our pulpits across America, we're filled with preachers that have failed to preach the entire message that God's given them to preach. Amen? We slacked up, amen, in our preaching. I've preached a lot of times. About how we're supposed to preach the capital, the entire capital of God. What Paul said, he said, in Acts 20:27, he said, I've got sons that declare to you all the capital of God. We have got to preach what makes us happy. We have got to preach what corrects us. We've got to preach what excites us. We've got to preach what exhorts us. We've got to preach what corrects us. We've got to preach what reproves us. We've got to preach the entire book this morning. Balaam failed to preach the entire book. Amen. We're living in a church world where preachers are afraid of losing their paycheck. They're afraid of losing church attendance. They're afraid of somebody getting mad at them. And they're scared to death to preach the whole life. Balaam didn't want to make these cats mad. What his problem was, he said, I just can't go with you. And it's all you have to do that. Ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you this morning, if you're a man that won't preach the entire Bible, is a deceiver, he's not a God, and you're a threat to that crowd. Amen. And one of the very first things that Jesus warned us about concerning the second coming, and we heard songs about this morning, he says, take heed that no man deceive you. We have full of Balaams in this world this morning, and they're trying their best to deceive us. Romans chapter 16, verse 17 and 18, the Bible says, flip over another page, that ain't what the Bible says. Paul writes, now I beseech you, brethren. This is what Paul says. I beseech you, I'm begging you this morning, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine.
Amen.
Hello?
Amen.
Contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned. And guess what he says? And avoid them. What the Bible says. For they, now he's talking about those that have the preach false, he's talking about the Balaams of this world. He says, For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly. And by good words, catch that? Not by good works.
Right.
Good words. Romans 16, verse 18 now. He says, by good words and fair speeches, deceive the hearts of the sinful.
Amen.
Amen. We are in a world right now that is, I don't even know if it's slowly anymore, but the wool is getting pulled over our eyes.
Yep.
Through fair speeches, fair words.
Right.
Boy, that don't describe a politician. That
Amen.
He said, mark them. Now, we're not going to do that politician right now. That's first book deal about preachers for now. He says, mark that crowd. Yep. And avoid them. They don't serve God. Listen, don't get mad. I better not say that. I better just move on. I could camp right here and preach the whole rest of the morning and just to still be here at 6 o'clock. But we have got to mark that crowd.
Amen.
That's believing, teaching, and causing division with bad doctrine. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Deception is one. I'm trying my best to move on right now. I'm really trying my best. I'm reading my notes in the back of my mind. I'm thinking, just hit this right now and power it up real good, blow it apart, and just get it done. We may just come back to this after a while. I don't know. But deception is one of Satan's greatest tricks. He tries his best to deceive us. And the Bible says, Ephesians 4:14, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. That's now, Brother Gary, what does this have to do with Biden's Bible? Well, I told you Biden's Bible, the Dewey Ring Bible. It comes from France. It's an English translation made in France. And the problem with that Bible, one of the many problems with that Bible, is that it distorts doctrine. Anything, anything that distorts doctrine is not from God. Heard a man say, when our pastor don't preach doctrine, you don't have a pastor then. You got to practice what you got. If that guy preaches what you want to hear, he does not care for your soul. He's only out for his own belly, and he's not taken care of. And I'm fine, Lord, let me stay here. Let me move on. But anyhow, this Dewey Ring Bible, over one of the first verses of Scripture that ever prophesied about the coming of the Messiah, over in the book of Genesis, when God tells Eve, he says, I won't put enmity between your seed and his seed. Talking about the devil's seed and her seed. He said, and it, talking about the seed, not the woman. He said, and it shall bruise his, talking about the devil. He said, his head, and he, talking about the seed, the woman, shall bruise his heel. Right? Now, get that right. I think I got that right. I think I may got that backwards. Anyhow, but it's basically what he said is the single woman is going to bruise the head of Satan, like that, right? He said, and the seed of Satan is going to get his heel. And that's why often, anytime you see in the Bible, anything about the heel, it's usually negative. It's always, remember that one baby that was between this one and one man holding the other's heel, remember that? How do y'all like to rub feet this one? Raise your hand, didn't think so. You know why? Because feet are negative, amen? Feet is a spiritual thing, but I don't believe that, Brother Gary. Hey, why don't you like rubbing feet much as I rub somebody's back or their neck or their shoulders or whatever, their head, amen? Look at that. I ain't rubbing his feet, though, I promise you. So we don't do that because that foot shows us something about negativity and a bad spirit. And God said that seed of the woman, he said, he is going to bruise the head of that devil. He's going to get the devil and he's going to stomp him with his foot, and the devil's going to bruise his heel. And we come to the Dewey Ring Bible, the same verse of Scripture says, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and thy seed and her seed. And she shall crush thy head. It takes Jesus Christ out and makes Mary, amen, you catching this, makes Mary the Savior of the world. Now listen, this is much for the love of the heart. Mary was just as much full of sin as anybody else was,
yep.
Amen. She needed a Savior, the same as me and you need a Savior. I don't say, well, Mary was about the Immaculate Conception, and how Mary didn't have pain. She was sinless. Well, you bucked your head, you need to sue your brain for all support.
Okay.
If you really believe that Mary was not sin, had it has sin. She said, my soul defieth by the Lord, and my spirit doth rejoice in who? And God, my what? Savior. Amen. I'm telling you, if Jesus Christ had died on the cross, Mary went to hell as fast as anybody else would.
Amen.
I'm really making the Catholic people real happy this morning with this message. But it says that seed of that woman says she will bruise the head. I tell you this morning, Jesus Christ is not her. Amen. He's not bisexual. He's not transgender. He's a him. Amen.
Amen.
And we know exactly who Jesus is. You cannot fully preach the gospel using a doing ring Bible.
Amen.
Amen. So what was our first point? That Bible doesn't tell the whole story.
That's right.
We talk about sinless perfection. See, that Bible, you know, the early King James became too popular, but it stuck in the middle and it wasn't considered part of the canon. They said it wasn't, they wouldn't believe them. They wouldn't put it in there. But the Dewey Ring Bible includes it. And it is from that portion of the Scripture that they get sinless perfection. It is from those portions of the Scripture that they get praise for the dead. Now listen, don't get mad at me when I say this, because I mean this out loud. You're wasting your breath praying for your dead loved one.
Amen.
Amen. You ain't going to change. Nothing's going to change for them.
Right.
Amen. Amen. Don't get mad at me for preaching your Bible. Amen.
Amen.
You get mad at me, you show me how poor devil you are. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. This is, someone just died. I'm preaching. I pray for Mama. She's passed away. Or Grandpa. Or Cousin Billy. Or whoever. Or whatever. And all that. Listen, they done dead.
That's right.
They're not going to get saved, man.
Amen.
Our problem is, I'm such here.
Come on, honey.
I know. Can't preach them in there yet. I've seen that done too. Little preachers get the old so-and-so. They like Amazing Grace. I don't care if they like Amazing Grace. I want you to get me started on that. I don't care what songs they like and all that stuff. But they did not have the blood of Jesus. Is that what you did? If they have the blood of Jesus in our life, they're going to go to hell. Amen. They done went to hell. They did. Amen. And we said, we're all going to pray for so-and-so. Listen, that's the Catholic doctrine. It's from hell. It ain't doing them no bit of good. Amen. That's purgatory. Comes from these scriptures. That whole idea of praying for the dead. We put them, they're not falling in hell yet. They're just in the holy place. And if you'll pay enough money, some priest, some guy wearing a dress will come out a porta potty and he's going to say, well, no, we're going to get them enough help. And they're going to be moved up to the next spiritual world. Listen to me, ladies and gentlemen. There's not the God in me at all of that mess.
Amen.
All these magical incantations of the Catholic Church, the blood turning, the wine turning to the blood, and all. That's why you can't preach the gospel using a book of deception.
Amen.
See, the Bible's like Balaam. It didn't tell the whole story.
Amen.
Y'all still with me?
Amen.
Let me move on. I'm trying not to be making anybody off. Number two, like Balak. Remember, Balak's the king of the Moabites. Now, Balak, Biden's Bible was built to conquer.
Mm-hmm.
Hello.
Amen.
Balak's intention, this is what Balak said, peradventure, I shall prevail, that we may smite them, and that I may drive them out of the land. Balak didn't want to coexist with Israel. You with me? You see these little weirdos not coexist on the back of the car, but
yeah.
Y'all see it? No, coexist. They don't want to coexist with you.
Right.
Amen.
They want to drive you out.
That's right.
That's that brother Gary. I know so-and-so. They got one of them stickers on the back of their car, and they're really sweet person. They're stupid what they are.
Yeah.
Hey, I hope none of y'all are one of them. But Lord, if you do, you've done the box of rocks.
Take it off, I'll make you another one.
What you getting at me, Jeff? You got one? Balak didn't want to coexist with Israel. What's the soul?
That's right.
Well, what's that got to do with Biden's Bible? Well, I told you, them old Jesuit priests, during the Reformation, they fled England. And they go over to Rheims, France, and they begin to print this Bible. While these Jesuit priests are there, they begin to converse, we shall say, with the King of Spain. And they begin to encourage the King of Spain to attack the country of England. Why? Because England has seceded, if you will, from the Catholic Church. And they break out all, you know, I've heard about the Reformation and all that, and the Protestants and all this. So England comes out and they're not going to learn no longer going to be Catholic. They're going to be something different. Well, then the Jesuit priests thought, well, we're not just going to let this happen. So they begin to talk with the King of Spain. I want to say, it wasn't Ferdinand, it's Philip. They talk with King Philip and they say, all right, Philip, you need to go after them. You need to get after them. You need to attack them. You haven't y'all ever heard of the Spanish Armada? That was at the encouragement of those Jesuit priests. And they begin to push and push and push and push and push. And the whole plan was they wanted to attack England physically through the Spanish Armada in that way. So they would attack them physically. Let me tell you this morning, you're going through lots of things this morning physically that is there to attack on your enemy. A lot of you bring on yourself, and he says, well, I got lung cancer, and I don't know why. They smoked 50 years. I got a pretty good idea why, amen. I got to figure that out. I got cirrhosis of the liver, and I don't know why. I just drink like a fish. I got to figure that out myself. I got killed in a car wreck, and I don't know why. I'm only going 110. Slow down. You know what? He may have three. She was that person that never made y'all flashing the light. That's who she was. She ain't telling that part. But listen, they attacked you physically. The ring Bible was intended to be circulated in England to attack England spiritually. While England was dealing with this physical attack, we can sneak in and get on spiritual. And the whole intent was to bring England back under the control of the Catholic Church. Balak's intention was not to coexist. It was to conquer. We are seeing this in our country right now. I'll be honest with you, a lot of things I can say right now. God's not bringing out more papers. That's never good when a preacher brings out more papers. But listen, the supreme goal of the Catholic Church is to have a one-world religious system.
Amen.
Hello?
Yep. That's right.
Y'all with me?
That's right. Preach, babe.
He's swearing on a Bible that the only reason that Bible was ever written to start with is to bring the whole world into a one-world religion. And ultimately, the Catholic Church would be over top of the governments of the world, probably want kings to bail out of them, and they would be a one-world then government in this system. So we have to understand that this Bible was basically printed to promote the kingdom of the Antichrist. Amen.
Amen.
Hello.
Amen.
And that's why you've got to be very careful. I'm sure we've all heard preachers that say, I'm working on the kingdom. I'm building the kingdom. We even pray for offerings and say, Lord, bless this offering about building thy kingdom. Let me encourage you quickly this morning. Your job is not to build any kingdom. Your job is not to usher in a kingdom. The kingdom will come. Amen.
Yep.
When Jesus Christ comes back, it doesn't matter whether we've been a dollar off or not. The kingdom's coming. Amen.
Amen.
He's going to come back. He's going to establish his rule from Jerusalem. It's not our job to usher in that kingdom. Our job is to be lights, to be witnesses, to be salt, and to preach and to spread the gospel. That's your only job in this world. It's just going to go down here, I'm trying to build the kingdom. It's not our job to conquer this world. Amen.
Amen.
But that's all they want to do, is bring the whole world under the rule of the Pope.
Right.
They've conquered. And they would step out to do this. Trying to make sure I don't jump too far ahead of myself. One of the ways that they do this with that duty rings Bible, Lord help me, Jesus, is through the educational system.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I'm just telling you.
Preach it, babe.
Yes.
The prime Jesuit methodology was to gain control of schools. This is particularly higher education. It says, in this way, they can mold and influence the next generation We are living in that time.
Yep.
I mean, most folks in here got college education. I think just be as smart as you can be. Amen. Learn all you can learn. It's good for you to learn. But be careful of getting indoctrinated.
Right.
Most major colleges and universities, they're really not hearing more to teach as much as is indoctrinated.
Right.
You'll go in fairly smart and you'll come out pretty stupid.
Amen.
Amen. And that was the result. They used the educational system to advance the movement. We are seeing it happen right now. Our educational system has been taken over.
Yeah.
We don't have a lot of good teachers like we used to have.
Amen.
We got some. We do have a sister. Thank God for them.
Amen.
Thank God for a good teacher.
Amen.
In this messed up world. But then you've got some.
Right.
Care less if you learn more math.
Right.
As long as you know not to vote for Trump.
Right. Right.
Really, what Trump, they didn't like it. What? Yeah. It was that system that he represented.
Yes.
Wasn't there about him? I mean, bless his heart. He's about as crazy the rest of them, too. But they use the educational system. They use politicians.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They would try to convince the politician to be on their side. That's why they got King Philip. See, we're right there today. There's something foul in our world that is driving our politicians.
Yes, there is.
Some of y'all have seen somebody go to politics and they started off pretty good though.
Yeah.
Then after about 4 or 5 years, well, they're crookeder than a dog's hind leg.
Amen.
So they crawl in a barrel of fish hooks and not get stuck. That's how crooked they are.
Yeah.
I mean, they're a mess. Over and over and over. Why all happens to them? There's something, there's a spirit in there. I'm sure Brother Chris has noticed this in his work that he does up at the Capitol building. I'm sure he'll tell you there's just something weird in that building.
Yeah.
Can't wait to get out of spiritual. I'm sure, and I think we got a good school here, but I'm sure even our book like back there say, sometimes it just, there's something that just don't feel right in that field.
Mm-hmm.
There's spirit in that. The spirit of the capital. As a spirit in the courthouse. Have you ever had to go to the courthouse? Have you ever noticed it?
Mm-hmm.
She's like, you never ought to tell you who the demons all around there. Don't name them, we're reporting. Okay? I want you to do your job. But have you ever noticed that? You ever go to the court in the courtroom? I've been there more than I care to talk about. That's something weird. They don't feel right. To the priest, they get a physical figure and they say, you do this. You do this. Yep. And that physical figure, they give money. Don't let anybody fool you. The Catholic Church could care less if you got money or not.
That's right.
As long as they've got money.
That's right.
Because they can advance their agenda. Because that one world control, one world government. I like to, if you see it on Facebook that says politicians should have to wear jackets like NASCAR drivers. Because then you know who's paying them off. That'd be great.
Yeah.
Could you imagine that? I'd hate to see Joe mention
jacket. Oh, gosh.
Lord have mercy, Jesus. Amen. But they said, you do this. And you know what the priest would do with that politician when they got through with him? And they didn't need help anymore?
Mm-hmm.
We don't need you. Our agenda is advanced further than you. Let it have that politician fascinated. Ladies and gentlemen, tell me this thing is just meant to conquer. Has nothing to do with unity. If you watch the presidential inauguration speech, I'm sure if you're like me, you got through up several times.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the quotes from that speech is, today we celebrate the triumph, not of a candidate, but of a conscience. Can against that? The cause of democracy. The will of the people. The way we've seen church. The way we've seen age. The will of the people. The will of the people has been heard. And the will of the people has been heeded. In his speech that morning, he uses the word unity 12 different times. At the swearing on that big 5-inch thick Dewey Rings Bible that had nothing to do with unity, but only to conquer. The goal of Balak was to drive Israel back to Egypt. You know anything about Bible types? Egypt is a picture of the world and sin.
Yes, it is.
The goal of this world is not to coexist with the church. It's to drive us back to sin.
Yes.
They want to crush us. Back to Egypt. As a matter of fact, Alexandria, Egypt, is where the manuscripts for that Dewey Rings Bible were discovered. Isn't that interesting? The goal of the Antichrist. What's the Antichrist called? Revelation 6:2. I saw and behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow and a crown was given unto him. He that was conquering and to conquer. Every time you hear the word tolerance, unity, they don't want it. They want us to be submissive. They don't want you to coexist, they want you to change. That's what they want. And it's a pact that's leading us into paganism and atheism and socialism and globalism. It's the goal, to conquer. Ladies and gentlemen, we are in a fight for our lives. Thing number three, like Balak and Biden, Balaam, Biden's Bible had a secret agenda.
Yes, yes.
See all the scriptures I read to you earlier? It seemed as if Balaam was saying, no, no. I can't do that. No, I can't. But Numbers chapter 31, verse 16. Here's what the Bible says again. Behold, these called the children of Israel through the counsel of Balaam to commit trespass against the Lord. When did Balaam counsel Balak on how? We don't have that.
Right.
Every conversation we have, Balaam is saying no. 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 But then you have Numbers 31:16 says, through the counsel of Balaam, because the children of Israel stumbled. When they stumbled, Numbers 25, verse 1, the Bible says, and Israel abode in Shittim, and the people began to commit whoredom with the daughters of Moab. And they called the people unto the sacrifices of their gods, and the people did eat and bowed down to their gods. And Israel joined himself unto Baal Peor, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel. We've mentioned already the false push for unity. But Balaam's advice to Balak is, if you want to conquer them spiritually.
Mm-hmm.
You get them to unite with you. Numbers 25. See, those that printed and translated that Dewey Rings Bible said this. About the actual Bible, it says, the Bible, that serpent, threatens us. The Bible shall be change into a rod as soon as we are able to seize it. They didn't want the Bible in England, in the world, unless it was corrupted by their own political views. And we, right now, need to understand there is a secret agenda in this world. Really, at work point now, it's really not that secret anymore. One, to unite spiritually. We see it in the churches today. Everybody come together. judging our bodies all the time. It's, you know, we want to be, you know, we're all one church. Don't get me started.
Come on, babe.
We can all worship together. We can, we all can do this. We all can that, and we just need to get along. We just need to understand one another. We need to sit down at the table. I think you're good. We need to sit down at the table with each other and discuss our differences. I don't need to discuss anything with this world.
That's right.
I've got a book that tells me exactly what's happening. I don't need a Pope's opinion.
Amen.
Right.
I don't need a priest's opinion. Amen. I don't need some preacher, some weird old preacher's opinion who's promoting Krizlon, or somebody that's promoting the NIV Bible, or they're all born from the same corrupt seed as that Dewey Rings. And we don't need to be pulled into this.
Right.
The agenda is just built to conquer your spirits. See, the devil's smart. He knows that a lot of folks would quit in the church. So what does he do? He sets super churches. He goes to some of these churches and it's not church. It's concerts. It's a gathering. It's a party. It's all this. But it's not. There's no preaching there. One world famous preacher says we don't teach doctrine in our church. We don't preach the gospel in our church. What in the world are you preaching?
Right.
Or it would truth be told, have you given in to the secret agenda? And are you one of those that are not serving our Lord? See, buy this Bible and that thing with you. They just want to sneak in there. Change the state of the world from Jesus to Mary. Change it from God's Son being the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ to Joseph being the Father. Just little subtle things. And the devil knew most people in churches would never notice. And it's just a secret agenda that just snuck in and moved ever so cautiously. They wanted their own teachings. They said Rome can only rule over ignorant people.
Right.
See that Bible that the president swore in on was meant to corrupt.
Yes, it was.
Amen. It was meant to conquer. They can talk about unity all they want to, but they want submission. Look what they're after. They care less about you or about me.
Amen.
Unity, tolerance, love means nothing to them. I said they don't want unity, it's service.
Right.
They don't want tolerance. They want acceptance.
Yeah.
More than that, they want you to believe about them. It's not love. Lust.
Right.
Let's just put it out there where it is.
Yeah.
Do you really think the devil could care less if two men can get married? Mm-hmm. His goal is to destroy the home and destroy it through lust.
Yeah.
That they burn within themselves, the Bible says. And it's all in that book that he laid his hand on. Swore. Man swore to uphold the Constitution of these United States. And I'm already talking about restricting more Second Amendment rights. And once that Second Amendment's gone, you better believe that first one won't be far behind. It's not about unity. It's about rule. You You'll do it their way, or you won't do it. Now, you ask me, Brother Gary, is this the first time a president has ever used a do-your-own Bible for his inauguration? No, it's not.
Nope.
As one of the presidents took the oath of office and using the Dewey Rings version of the Bible. Very well known. John Fitzgerald Kennedy. And what happened after they got through?
Yep. Took him out.
The policy had changed. When you no longer be in FedEx, I'm telling you folks, we are dealing with something more spiritual than we ever dreamed. I don't want to say it further. Where was Mr. Kennedy shot? In Harvey's office. Right in the head. What does that mean? Christ said he wasn't going to be. Folks, God's let us know real plain what He thinks. Balaam, I'll give you these scriptures when we get ready to close. Over in 2 Peter, chapter 2, verse 15, says, "Which have forsaken the right way and gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness." And Jude, verse 11, says, "Woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain, and ran greedily after the heir of Balaam, the reward, and perished in the gainsaying of Korah." It's not by accident that God links Balaam with Cain's evil, I believe. Revelation 2, verse 14. "But I have a few things against thee." This is God speaking to one of the churches, in Pergamos. "I have a few things against thee, because thou hast bare them that hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed unto idols, and commit fornication." Folks, we are in battle spiritually like we've never been in. Jesus is coming soon. Because I've heard it all my life. Well, I promise you, one of these days you're going to hear it for the last time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're going to wish you could hear it again. We are seeing this whole agenda being unfolded right in front of us. Don't ever think this world wants to get along with you. What they want, if they truth be told what they want, they want us to go. Oh, but thank God they're going to get to the wish.
Yep.
The trumpets will sound. Boy, make them have this world. Perfect. We're out of here. Your only hope in a world where things are unfolding as quickly as they are, your only hope is the blood of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
It's your only hope. Okay, this kind of weird message. I don't know. Let me just tell you something. The only hope you have is in the cross.
Amen.
And that tomb, thank God, the tomb's empty.
Amen.
Go back and read Numbers. Finish up through there and find out if Balaam won or God's people won. I'm telling you, you need to be on the right side this morning.
Yeah.
Let's stand here from Bill. Come get us a song, please. Why don't you just bow your heads with me just for a minute?